Welcome back to Sprinkles of SEL with U2L, a podcast on social and emotional learning, wellness, neuroscience, and healthy habits for educators and anyone in the education space. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Namratha.
And we are the SEL team here at United to Learn. We know that, quote, burnout is a response to unhealthy boundaries, according to Tawab. So today, we're going to be diving into one of our favorite topics. Drumroll, please. Boundaries!
Woohoo, okay.
Today's Sprinkle of SEL answers the following questions. What are boundaries, and why are they important? As well as, why are they important in the education space? Boundaries are invisible property lines that mark those things for which we are responsible. In other words, boundaries help us define who we are and who we are not. Quote, boundaries are essentially about understanding and respecting our own needs and being respectful and understanding of the needs of others, according to Stephanie Dowd, a clinical psychologist, and, quote, for that to work, we need to be putting a big emphasis on helping kids develop greater empathy and self-awareness. Dr. Dowd, Stephanie Dowd, is from the Child Mind Institute, and she helps us unpack the power of boundaries for children.
And so let's just do a really, really quick pop quiz just to help us understand and define what those boundaries are for us. So let's just say you're having people over. How would you like them to enter the house? Do they, one, enter through the back door, two, hop down the chimney, three, enter through the front door, or four, break a window to just make their way into the house? Hopefully that wasn't too hard of a question. I feel like most of us are going to say you want people to come in through the front door, right? I think that's what we're used to. And that's what boundaries are. Boundaries are acknowledging what is the most appropriate way to have people enter your space versus them breaking down a wall or breaking down a window or coming in from somewhere else that you're not comfortable with. And that's the most important part of this, is understanding what you are and you are not comfortable with.
Well said, Namratha.
Mm-hmm. So there are many, many types of boundaries. A lot of the research has sort of demonstrated that there is maybe six or seven key ones we can look at, but we're going to narrow that down for our purposes today and focus on four main boundaries. So our first boundary is physical boundaries. This is determining who is going to touch us and under what circumstances are they entering our physical space. Two is our mental boundaries. This is giving us the freedom to have our own thoughts and our own opinions and how we engage with other people in that sense. Three is our emotional boundaries. Emotional boundaries are helping us deal with our own emotions and helping us disengage from the harmful, manipulative emotions of other people. And four are time boundaries. So these are boundaries that help us register that we have a right to determine how are we going to be spending our time. And as we go through an example or two in this episode and maybe our next episode as well, I think we'll dive a little bit into how time boundaries affect us.
Big time, especially in the workspace.
Especially in the workspace.
So more often than not, we experience boundary violations to these main four types of boundaries if we're not careful. But what do these boundaries even look and sound like? Tawab, who is the author of a book called Set Boundaries, Find Peace, a great resource, we'll link it in the show notes, describes boundaries as either being porous, rigid, or healthy. Porous meaning weak or poorly expressed boundaries. You haven't made it clear. Communication perhaps may be an issue with that one. Rigid, on the inverse, is building thick, tall walls to keep others out. That's a little bit more aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. And then the last one is healthy. Somewhere in the middle of that spectrum, and it really hones in on being clear It is about your own values, listening to yourself, who you are, ensuring that you are comfortable and you're comfortable saying no, you're comfortable hearing no, and you're having healthy vulnerability with the others around you who you trust.
But I think in that and of itself is part of the issue where it's hard to sometimes maintain and build that trust with people who, especially when they're violating boundaries that you may or may not even be conscious of.
Right. And sometimes I think it's uncomfortable to have to reiterate or say boundaries because it's not something we innately know how to do.
And I think that's what gets us into this next part is why is it hard to set boundaries? I feel like every time I've had a conversation around this, it's always something a little different. And Tawab, she really illustrates and determines 9 main reasons in which it just becomes hard for us to set those boundaries. So I'm going to go through this list and just follow along and think about, does this sound like me? Is this the reason why I'm struggling with this boundary? 1, fear of being mean. 2, fear of being rude. 3, you're a people pleaser. 4, you're anxious about future interactions after a boundary has been set. Oh man, I feel like that's a big one. 5, you feel powerless.
But you're not. You have power over yourself and your body.
Absolutely. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's true. 6, you get value from helping others. So why set a boundary when you feel like you're being a positive aid to society at the end of the day? Why stop? 7, you project your feelings about being told no onto others. 8, you have no clue where to start.
That's okay. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. And 9, you believe that you cannot have boundaries in certain types of relationships. I think that's the most dangerous reason. If you believe that you, and I think this also goes a little bit back into feeling powerless, but if you truly believe your environment is not set up for you to have boundaries, I think that's incorrect. And if you feel like you're in that environment, I would reevaluate why that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And set a boundary for yourself and whether or not it's healthy to engage in that relationship.
I want to ask a question. I'm curious, Lauren, what boundaries do you feel like? Why do you feel like it's hard for you to set a boundary in certain situations?
I think for me, I care deeply and very passionately about those in my life. And so I think I am perhaps apprehensive to set boundaries in certain instances because I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings and I don't want to upset somebody. However, I do realize that at times it's at the expense of my own feelings, right? And so for me, it is difficult to set boundaries, but after I start to get used to doing it, I have this little like, yeah, I can do this. This moment after, right? That I conquered perhaps a courageous conversation in some instances. But other instances, I've set a boundary that maybe inside I was like really squirming about, but as soon as I said it, it like was not something to squirm about. It was very well received and my point was clear. Nobody was offended and we were able to continue on our communication.
Which is great. And I feel like one thing that you said, I want to hit on, you said that's a courageous conversation. And I feel like it does take courage to be able to set those boundaries for yourself, but also for other people. And I would say for the benefit of you and that other person. And it is slightly easier or harder depending on who that person is and what that relationship looks like. But it can be so empowering when you do that. Right?
I agree. And I think one thing that's also helped me refine my ability to set boundaries is to ask others what their boundaries are. And so some people in my life know I'm going to ask a couple of questions about like what's appropriate to you or how do you prefer that to get done? So that we can get to a place of productively using boundaries often, and it just becomes a norm in our conversation.
I love that.
All right, so bringing this back to our educators and parents out there, we're going to dive into specifically boundaries with kiddos. So how do you set boundaries with your child? All right, parents, this one's for you. Have you ever had a little one just casually follow you all the way to the restroom and then insist on sitting immediately outside of the door because they just want to be close to you? Perhaps they're sticking their fingers under the door. They're trying to talk to you. I hope some of you parents out there are laughing with me right now because you can relate to children always wanting to be close to you. This is a prime example of when a boundary would be a really appropriate thing to talk about. So when you're helping your child set and understand boundaries, the most important thing is communication. When we're fortunate enough to have the opportunity to engage with children or play a role in their health development, we have to really start with a strong line of communication. Your child should feel comfortable communicating their feelings, and the next level to that would be also understanding or considering what the feelings of others may be. And this will really help them to begin to develop empathy. So I'm going to ask you a question. How often do you ask the children in your life to critically consider how somebody else may be feeling? Is that a question you ask a lot to your children or your students? I would encourage you to start there, if not. But when children, or adults really too, understand empathy and have space for empathy, they can then begin to understand the boundaries and how boundaries can be so helpful. Modeling your boundaries in front of your children, such as, I don't like being touched while I'm working. Please give me an arm's length distance while I'm sitting at my desk. Otherwise, I tend to get frustrated and stressed out and I have difficulty concentrating. With this example, I did mention the why behind why I'm setting the boundaries with intentionality to show children how boundaries can be helpful or harmful. However, with adults, don't feel you need to justify your boundaries. Communicating them in a respectful manner is sufficient.
Mm-hmm. I want to add something there too. I think one of the things I was thinking about when you were sharing that was boundaries are never something that is immediately understood by anyone, whether they are adults or children, right? And especially with children, they do have to be taught.
Explicitly.
Explicitly.
And adults too.
Adults, exactly. With everyone.
Yes. I think cultural norms play a role in this, Namratha. I think that this leads into a bigger conversation around how we are holding our space in the world and how we hold our space in regards to others holding their own space. Mm-hmm. And perhaps walking around believing our culture is the mainstream or the normal culture or that everybody knows all these invisible unwritten rules. However, that's not always the case. Sometimes we need you to just tell us exactly what you're looking for or we're never going to know, right? Mm-hmm. And so boundaries are an example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just best to be explicit, be respectful while being able to explain what that boundary looks like for you, why it's important to you. And that way, the other person who you're engaging with, whether it's an adult, whether it's a child, they know moving forward, right? They know.
Absolutely. And so this is a tool that you can use in all spaces of your life, in your house, in your home, with your family, with your friends, with your colleagues at work, with strangers. For example, I really cannot stand it when people are too close to me at the grocery store that they're practically like shoving their cart into my back.
That's a physical boundary violation.
Yes,
right,
that
there
is a physical boundary. Makes me feel very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay to turn around and say, ooh, I just need a little bit more space. Can you back up a little bit, please?
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're not being rude about that interaction.
Right.
Right. And you're saying that for the sake of yourself and for the other person as well. They also get some extra space back.
So. Correct.
So this is not the end. We want to continue talking about boundaries because obviously this is just a topic that is quite intricate in nature. This is just us setting the stage today. But join us next week as well where we dive a little bit further into boundaries, talking a little bit more about how as adults we have to be setting those boundaries for ourselves, for other people, especially when it comes to our work environments. And thank you to those who have responded on our survey, our educators. We really, really appreciated all of your examples and
yes,
your thoughts on boundaries and boundary violations you have experienced. They were so, so insightful. So we're going to be able to address a few of those going into next week and talk further about that.
Definitely. And as you know, we're always talking about wellness and stress. And so boundaries are definitely a pivotal lever that you can utilize to mitigate or avoid some stressors. This is really a proactive strategy of implementing them mentally first and then being able to execute them verbally to others. So our challenge to you this week is to think about something in your life that perhaps stresses you out or causes you frustration or just gives you the heebie-jeebies. For example, if you're not a hugging person and you know you're going somewhere and people are going to hug and it just makes you cringe, think about ahead of time, think about three different ways in which you could let somebody know what's appropriate to you and what's not. So, Namratha, when I ask you to take all of your work home with you because it's an obscene amount of work and I have an unrealistic expectation that you're going to get everything done by 8 a.m. tomorrow, how could you let me know that that's really not something you're going to do today? Putting her on the spot, by the way.
I know. Well, I think I'd probably respond somewhere on the lines of, hey, Lauren, thank you so much for, the wonderful suggestion.
Which you don't feel like you have to compliment. I think Namratha is in a position because of our work dichotomy over here. But definitely, I've done this to you and you've set boundaries before without even realizing it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how I've said it before.
You've told me, you've communicated like, oh, I would totally love to work on this tonight, but I have this event going on with some of my friends, or I have this volunteer thing happening.
Or actually, as you're saying this, I'm hearing my own words back at me. Mm-hmm. And like you said before, sometimes you don't need to justify why you're setting that boundary to somebody. I think I myself have gotten into the habit of doing so, but that's clearly not what we like. It's not normal. Like, we don't need to be all doing that. Mm-hmm. And I myself need to probably cut that down as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you can clearly say, hey, like, that's great. However, I sign off at 5:00. I can definitely work on this tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can. That's what she has said that to me before. Like, okay, great. I'll prioritize this first thing tomorrow. Or I'll shift some stuff around and take care of this tomorrow. Is that an appropriate time frame? And so I also want to reiterate the fact that saying no does not make you mean. Saying no is just you setting a boundary. So the same way you are so comfortable telling your children in your own house, no, don't touch that. That's my food. You have your own. You can do that other places too.
And going back to what we talked about last week with self-care, saying no is a form of self-care. You're dealing with the stress. You're dealing with the stressor. And you're putting that boundary in place to help you practice that safe self-care for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So before we prepare to do our commitments for the week and our mindful moment, again, I'm just going to reiterate, think about something that is coming up that might be stressing you out a little bit. And what boundaries can you have rehearsed and practiced and ready to utilize so that you can respect yourself and respect others around you? So before we close out, what are our commitments for the week? Namratha, what's yours?
For me, I'm going to say it is setting a proper sleep routine. I don't think I've been taking care of myself in that sense. And it always hits me in the morning when I realize I did not get my 8 hours. So I'm going to be a little bit more proactive and make sure that I am in bed by a set time every single day. And set myself up every day to make sure that I'm in that space.
I love it. I love it, definitely. Mine is about doing the dishes every night. Somebody in my life gave me a boundary about how important it is that there are not any dishes in the sink and how that really affects them. And so my commitment is to work really hard to not leave that extra dirty cup in the sink before bed. Just take a moment, wash it, dry it, put it away. So... And last but not least, our mindful moment. From our book, A Year of Mindfulness, today's passage is, state and affirm this phrase, quote, I honor and respect myself through my daily meditation practice and make it a priority in my life, end quote. Yeah, so that's a boundary. I would love to go pick up your class from lunch. However, I made a commitment to myself that I need 10 minutes of mindfulness before I do anything. So, we of course can't sign off without letting you know how much we love you. We see you, educators. We value you. You are enough. You are important. You are very, very, very appreciated for all of the work that you do. Even if you don't hear it all the time, know that you can hear it from us. So on that note, we love you, SELEs.
We love you guys. Bye.
We'll see you next episode where we unpack some of your very own boundary
experiences.
There you go.
Bye, you guys.
All right. Bye.